Very good. This very famous verse, actually, verse 6, I'm going to read. Naivopayanti apachitim kavayasta vesha brahmayushapi kritam riddhamuda smarantaha yontarvahistanu britam ashubham vidumbam acharya chaita vakusha swagatim vyanakti. O Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they were endowed with the prolonged lifetime of Brahma, could not fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they were endowed with the prolonged lifetime of Brahma. For you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya and internally as the Supersoul, to deliver the embodied living being by directing him how to come to you. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Lord Krishna is 10 million times more dear to a devotee than life itself. And according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, even by rendering devotional service for the total duration of 1,000 universal creation, a devotee cannot repay the debt he feels to the Lord for having awarded him loving service to the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord appears within the heart as the super soul and externally both as the spiritual master and as his literary incarnation, the supreme Vedic knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Madhyana Tivirandasya Ginamjana Chalakaya Chakshirum Militam Yena Tasma Shivrave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Nishtam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Sabadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajitam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahana Adita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatvate Gopesha Gopika Kantara Dhakanta Namostude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vinda Manishwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Arite Vancha Kalpa Tadovyascha Kvasindhu Vyayvacha Vatita Pavaya Vyo Vaishna Vyo Namo Namah Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadhi Gaurata Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Kam Karoti Vachanupangam Mangeti Egaribat Kripatamaham Mande Shri Guru Vyataram Paramananda Madhavam. So, I will read the verse again. O my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they were endowed with the prolonged lifetime of Brahma. For you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya, and internally as the super soul, to deliver the embodied living being by directing him how to come to you. So, Srila Jiva Goswami explained that Krishna is 10 million times more dear to a devotee than life itself. I wish to meet devotees like that, who have, you know, so much love for Krishna, that they love Krishna 10 million times more than life itself. Generally speaking, everybody is very attached, you know, to maintain the life, you know, to maintain the body, soul together. You know? If there is a fire in one house, one immediately tries to save oneself. You know? That's natural. But who are those devotees who love Krishna 10 million times more than their own life? I will say devotees. Devotees have such love for Krishna. No one else. I mean, according to the Shastra, Krishna has 64 qualities, you know, unlimitedly. And the souls, when they become liberated, they can have 50 of those qualities, up to 78%. Lord Shiva, he has 55 of those qualities, up to 84%. He's more than Jiva, you know, above Jiva. And then Narayan himself, he has only 60 of those qualities, up to 96%. Only Krishna has, you know, 64 qualities, 100%. And what are those four qualities that even Narayan doesn't have? Venu Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, Prema Madhurya. Venu Madhurya means this sweet sound of Krishna's flute that enchants all the universe. Only Krishna has this. Narayan doesn't have this. Rupa Madhurya, beautiful form of Krishna, attracts even his own self. Leela Madhurya is beautiful pastime, especially childhood pastimes, you know, and the Ras Leela. And Prema Madhurya, devotees who have such a prema for Krishna, like the gopis. Only Krishna that have that. Narayan doesn't have gopis like that. He loves them. And the proof of the gopis' love for Krishna, there is one pastime that when Krishna was in Dwarka, once Narad Muni went to visit the Lord, and he found the Lord with headache. Krishna doesn't have material body, doesn't have headache. But he was playing like that, Leela, you know. So Narad Muni followed, you know, the Leela. So he asked the Lord, my dear Lord, what can I do to relieve you from your headache? Krishna said, my dear Narad, only if you bring me the dust from my pure devotees and I smear on my hair, that only will relieve me from my headache. So, oh yes, immediately I will bring that. So he went to the Dwarkavasis to ask them, you know, Krishna have like this, please give. No, 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 are you crazy? Krishna is Paramatma. We do this, we go to hell. No. And then he went to the yogis in the Himalayas meditating on Paramatma, asked them, no, 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 we don't want to go to hell. And then finally he arrived at Vrindavan. Immediately the gopis surrounded him. Huh? Asking for Krishna's well-being, welfare. And when they knew Krishna's headache, oh, immediately they collected dust from their feet and gave to Narad. Narad was surprised. Do you know the result of giving your dust from your feet to Krishna? You know the result? They say, yes, we know, eternal hell. You don't care? No. If Krishna is happy, we don't care to go for hell forever. Oh, such a love you don't find anywhere. Anywhere. In the material or the spiritual world. So the gopis are glorified so much because they are ready to sacrifice everything. Even their own liberation, their own happiness, just to please Krishna. Such a love you don't find anywhere. So, besides that, pure devotees in this material world, they feel so much happiness and always meditating on Krishna and chanting His holy name, that if somebody offers them, okay, stop, think of Krishna for 1 minute. I will give you all the opulence of the heavenly planets. But only 1 minute you stop thinking of Krishna. They will not accept. Because that moment they think of Krishna gives them so much happiness, that this can be compared with any opulence in this material world. no matter how much opulence, can be compared with this little fraction of happiness of thinking of Krishna, with the pure heart. They give so much ananda that they don't care for anything else. Once Narad Muni asked Krishna, "My dear Krishna, coming here to Dwarka, I met one Grihasthi devotee, and he's very pure, very sincere, very surrendered to you. But he's very, very poor. I feel sorry for him. He's worshipping you every day. Why you don't give him some wealth, you know? He may need something." Krishna said, "I don't give him because he's not interested in this. But at least try to give him something. Use it, you know. Whatever basic need he may have, you know, give him." "Okay," Krishna said. "But you will see the result. You will see the result." All right, so both Krishna and Narad Muni went to the devotee's home. And the morning, as soon as he and his wife very early left home to go to the temple, as soon as they walked out of their home, they saw a small hill of gold coins, you know. A lot of gold coins, you know, small hill like that. Millions of dollars. And the devotee's reaction, Narad Muni and Krishna were witnessing what this was, his reaction. Reaction of the devotee was, "Oh, so much money here, you know, maybe belongs to somebody. And he, somehow or other, left here. I don't want anybody to fall in temptation to steal this money." So he was throwing dirt over the coins, or gold coins, to cover them. And his wife asked him, "What are you doing? Why are you throwing dirt over dirt?" That's so detached, you know. This reminds me of the story of Ramanujacharya, you know. Ramanujacharya had many disciples, you know. And once he was going to have darshan of this beautiful deity in what is the name of that town in South India? Very large deity. Srirangam. Yeah, Srirangam. He was going there. It was a big procession, you know. They're having the Utsav deity, you know, going everywhere, you know. And in that procession, they saw one man. His name was Damodas. He was a wrestler. He worked for the king. And he was holding an umbrella above a beautiful girl. She was a courtesan from the tent, from the palace. He was in love with her. So to prevent that the sun will harm her, he was holding for her, you know. So people, devotees were criticizing him. "I'll see how much he's attached." Even publicly he showed, you know, this attachment like this. But Ramanujacharya said, no, you are all mistaken. This man has a great capacity to love, but he doesn't know how to direct it properly. But he has great capacity. Otherwise, how he will be able to do it openly like that? So he went to him, Ramanujacharya, and told him, "What attracts you in this girl?" Said. And Damodas said, "Oh, she has such a beautiful eyes." You know? And Ramanujacharya told him, "Well, I know somebody that has much more beautiful eye than her. Will you like to know, to meet that person?" He said, "Yes, of course. Oh, come with me." So she also came. He asked him, "Is she your wife?" No, I'm just in love with her. They both, three of them, went to the temple to have darshan of Ranganath. And there, Ramanujacharya, by his mystic power, by his, you know, blessing of the Lord, he was able to show Damodas the beautiful eyes, you know, the transcendental eyes of the Lord. He had a vision, a spiritual vision, Damodas. And we have this vision, he was completely immersed, you know, in bhakti, in prayer. So both of them became his disciples. And he married them, engaged them in devotional service. He liked him very much, you know. Sometimes they will go to the Kaveri River, take a bath, and coming back he will put his hand over his arm, you know. And all the other disciples will feel a little angry, you know, a little jealous because, I mean, we are from Brahmin family and this is coming from Sudra family. Why Gurudev showing so much affection for him? So they were a little jealous like that. So Ramanacharya, he knew the heart, you know. So wanted to give them some lesson. So one day he told some, you know, confidential disciple, he had two confidential disciples, he told them, I want you to go to Dhanurdas' home when he's not there, when his wife is taking nap afternoon after lunch, you know. And while she's sleeping, I want you to take off the golden bracelet she has in both hands. Take them off and bring them to me. I have a purpose with this. Don't ask. Just do it. So they were surrendered devotee, you know. They knew the Guru must have some other higher purpose. Lin was not interested in stealing, but he had something to do with that. So they both went there. And they silently took, very carefully took, the bracelet in one hand. But when they were trying to take from the other hand, she moved to the other side. So they were afraid they left. So they came to Ramanujacharya, they thought, here are the bangles, but we couldn't take the other hand because this happened. She moved and we were afraid that she would wake up. All right, say Ramanujacharya. I want you to go in the evening when none of us come back home, and I want you to hear the conversation they have about this. So they went and they were hearing the conversation. So the wife told Dhanurdas, my dear husband, some Brahmin came today to my home, and apparently they were in need because they took my golden bangles. And I let them to take them. I thought maybe they needed, you know, let them. But I was trying to turn the other side so to release my hand so it will be easier for them to take from the other hand also. But they were afraid they left. But Dhanurdas told her, maybe unconsciously he was a little attached to the bangles. That's why you move. You should haven't moved. You should have just remained quiet so they can do it, you know. Just open your arm a little bit. But maybe unconsciously he was a little attached, so that was not good. Next time they come, don't move. Just let them take everything. The disciples were completely surprised. They went and told Ramanujacharya about it, you know. So he told those two disciples, I told them, I want you at night when everybody's sleeping, go to the Brahmacharya ashram and take some of the devotees from the land. And let's see what happened next day. So next day, all Brahmachari Brahmanas fighting. Who took my daughter? You took my daughter. No, you took my daughter. You know, fighting each other, you know, almost beating each other. Ramanujacharya came and stopped them. And he explained everything to them. They were completely, you know, feeling very so much shame, you know. They were criticizing this Dhanurdas because he was, you know, attached, grihastha and everything. But he showed them he is more detached than them. That he said, didn't mind to lose so much gold, but you lost a little daughter, you were so angry. So they accepted, yes, we are not so advanced, you know, as Dhanurdas. He's more advanced than us. So as bad as spiritual life doesn't depend on external things, you know, that I'm dressed in white or orange or this. Has to be with change of heart. Has to be something deep. And that is attachment to Krishna. The more we become attached to Radha and Krishna, the more we become detached from material sense gratification, which is the cause of keeping us entangled in this material life. Isn't it? So we have to increase our attachment to the beauty of Radha and Krishna. If we develop this attraction, Radha Shamsundara, the transcendental beauty, then naturally you will feel detachment. We don't care about this so-called material happiness. It's temporary, it's not real. You want the real thing, transcendental happiness. And that happiness we can only achieve in the loving service of the Lord. Nowhere else. That's why devotees, they feel so much indebted that the Lord is giving them this opportunity, that they are able, even if they, for millions of lifetimes, you know, they still don't feel that I repaid the kindness, the mercy of the Lord in giving me this wonderful opportunity to serve Him. You know, they feel as the greatest gift from the Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explained that even by rendering devotional service for the total duration of 1,000 universal creations, a devotee cannot repay the debt he feels to the Lord for having awarded him loving service to the Lord's lotus feet. And the Lord appears within the heart and the super soul, Chaitanya Guru, and externally both as the spiritual master and his literary incarnation. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, like that. So the devotee feels eternally indebted to the Lord. And that indebtedness is out of love only. So, Srila Prabhupada gave us so much. He sacrificed his life, his energy, his own health, everything, just to give us this transcendental life, you know, transcendental knowledge. So we can, you know, surrender ourselves to the lotus feet of the Lord. And he wrote all these wonderful books just to give us the opportunity to immerse ourselves in transcendental life. You know, this is it's not a change of external dress or this or that. It's a transcendental transformation that happens when one is touched by a pure devotee of the Lord. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi. All these scriptures say that one moment of association with the pure devotee of the Lord can give permanent results, completely permanent results. Only one moment. One moment. So Prabhupada said, if people read only one line from this book, their life will change. We don't know how this will happen, but it's happening. Otherwise, how is that Krishna consciousness spread all over the world? The other day I was in Puerto Rico, recently, maybe 2 weeks ago. And one Ramakrishna mission sannyasi came to our temple, and he said, I am friend of ISKCON. I know Japataka Maharaj. I went to Mayapur. And I tell you frankly, wherever I go, I can always be sure I will have prasad at your temple. I don't have to worry, you know, looking for vegetarian, this, there, you know, very difficult. Just wherever I go, you are everywhere, you know. You are doing wonderful work. And I admire you very much. I have Prabhupada's books, and now this is the best knowledge I ever know. You know. He has so much admiration for Prabhupada and his mission. And this is happening everywhere, all over the world. You know. All over the world. There is one story happened to the devotees, you know. Prabhupada told the devotees that you must come to Kumbh Mela. But come with bullock cars. And on the way coming, you must distribute prasad and books. Every time you come, collect rice, dal, and vegetable. Cook prasad, offer to the Lord, and give to the people. and do kirtan, do pravachan, until you arrive here. You have to leave 1 month before. So they were doing like that, the devotees. One town, they found one place, one temple, small temple, and the name of the temple was Goranitai Mandir. So they were surprised because that part, North India, people were not, devotees of Goranitai. So they entered the temple and they found this was a Gaudiya Vaishnava. So they made friendship with him, gave him the books and, prasad and everything. He liked them very much. So he asked them, where are you going? They said, we are going to Kumbhamela. Or Guru Maharaj will be there. And if you like, you can come. He said, yes, definitely I must meet your Guru. I mean, everything you're doing for Mahaprabhu's mission, spreading his mission everywhere. But your Guru must be very, very powerful, to inspire you to do all this. So, yes, definitely I will go. So, the devotees arrived in Kumbhamela, they met Prabhupada there, have a tent, kirtan every day, book table, big book table, prasad distribution, thousands every day. Wonderful. So, one day was Ekadasi, and Prabhupada was telling the devotees that in Ekadasi, one nice preparation is lotus seed cooked in ghee, deep fried in ghee, lotus seed. Say Prabhupada, in the Kadasi, this is very nice preparation. And while he was saying that, some voices at the entrance of the tent was somebody speaking loudly. So he had sent one devotee to find out what's going on. Devotee came, this one man wants to come, and one devotee is not allowing him. But we know him, we're at this temple. He has a Gaudiya Thai temple. Let him come. So the man came inside, offered his obeisance to Prabhupada, and offer a gift, So Prabhupada opened the cloth. Inside was lotus seed fried in ghee. He gave us a gift. Prabhupada was speaking about that. And he brought a son with him, a 10 years old boy. Prabhupada liked the boy. He told him, why you don't give him to me? I will train him to be an acharya, And the father was, he already studying Sanskrit, He's already on, have a Vedic school, Okay, Prabhupada said, that's fine. And then, what happened after that, many years later, the devotees were at another Kumbhamela, after Prabhupada left this world, everything. And they saw one acharya from Ramanuja Sampradaya. And he was, preaching and, many people, hundreds, thousands of people following, like that. And they went to speak with him to give him Prabhupada's books. And he told them, look, I have all your Guru Maharaj books, all Bhagavatam, all Chaitanya, I have all the books. And he's doing wonderful service to the mission of Sri Krishna all over the world. He told them, I became acharya only due to the blessings of your Guru Maharaj. I came to see your Guru Maharaj with my father, I was 10 years old. And he said that he would make me acharya. Only by his desire I became acharya of this Ramanuja. It was the same boy who came with his father. Amazing, how Prabhupada, everything he say, comes to happen. Because Prabhupada, as a pure devotee of the Lord will not allow that his pure devotee will say something which is not true. He will make arrangement that it will happen, somehow or other. When Prabhupada was in Venezuela, South America, he told us, if you follow these four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds, and do sankirtan, you preach, you chant the holy name of the Lord, I assure you, in this very lifetime, you will see Krishna face to face. Prabhupada promised like that. Of course, some people may argue that you need more than that to see Krishna face to face. And they may be right, that because Prabhupada promised like that, Krishna will feel, obliged to fulfill his pure devotee's promise. Srila Prabhupada's mission, you know. But Prabhupada told Bhakti Charu Maharaj, when he was the last moment of his life in Vrindavan, before he left the world, a few days before, he told him, no matter what happens, never leave ISKCON. No matter what happens. Prabhupada knew problems will come, you know, after his departure. But he told him like that. Don't leave. No matter what happens. Because somehow or other, you know, somehow or other, Prabhupada created a system of self-correction. Prabhupada knew, if I leave only one, as the only acharya, and he has problems, everything will be finished. But if I leave, you know, 40, 50, if some fail, the other will continue. In that way, Prabhupada, you know, assured that his mission will continue, somehow or other. No matter how many problems will come, some, at least few sincere will go on. And then the mission will not stop. Of course, there is always room for improvement. That acknowledge that, you know. And we should try for that also. But the essence is the spirit, you know. That the indebtedness we feel for Prabhupada, you know. No matter what, we should go on with this mission. Giriraj Maharaj once asked Prabhupada, you are here with us, and we have any doubt, any question, we come to you. Or any problem, we come to you. But when you will not be here with us, what we shall do if we have some problems? Prabhupada told him, you are one of the leaders. If there are problems, you must try to solve them, help them. Mm-hmm. And he told also, similar question was asked by, I'm not sure when, one sannyasi asked him a question like that we need advice, you know, Prabhupada said, Krishna is no different from his name. If you chant Krishna's name, Krishna and the heart will give you intelligence. You must pray to Krishna, please give me intelligence to do the right thing. Like that. So we have to pray to Krishna. We have to learn how to depend on the Lord's mercy. But we should be careful not to think that whatever my mind tells me, this is Paramatma. That's very tricky, you know. Sometimes the devotee feels everything I think is Paramatma Telesi. And maybe it's wrong thing they do after, you know. We should be careful with that. Once a devotee approached Prabhupada, and asking, Prabhupada, I have this idea. Is this my mind or Paramatma? Prabhupada told him, it's your mind. So everything has to be confirmed by Shastra, Sadhu and Guru. You know? Otherwise, mental speculation also can be there, you know, very easily. So we have to be careful with that. Okay. So, if you have any questions? Comments. Yes, Prabhupada.
We were talking about Paramatma this
month. Yes.
So now, what comes that about the dimensions of the super soul, say about 9 inches or something.
Yes.
So I was wondering about that there are so many, you know, bodies which are not even measuring 9 inches, lesser than that. So how to...
The 9 inches are according to their body. It is said in the Bhagavatam that the Paramatma size is the upper size of the tongue. Also mentioned. But that means if you are an ant, the upper size of your tongue will be the measure.
So this 9 inches is reflected as what? Especially mentioned?
Yes. That means in the human body.
Okay.
In animal body, of course, according to the size of their body, Paramatma, you know, will be there. Yeah. So, actually, Paramatma is even in the atom. What to speak of, you know, atom is the smallest material particle, is still there with four arms, open arms, you know, stretched arms, with all the symbols and everything. So, how is that? So you have to adjust, you know. You should not take, you know, everything like literal. Like that. You have to understand that this is, you know, there is always room for, you know, for understanding deeper the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we take something literal from Shastra without understanding the spirit behind. So we should always take the spirit behind the revealed knowledge. And that's revelation, that's realization. So Paramatma is in the heart of every living entity, according to the size of the living entity's body, of course. But size doesn't matter for him. He's the Anuraniyam Mahator Mahiyam. He's the smallest of the smallest and the biggest of the biggest. The smallest particle is the atom, and he enters the atom. The biggest thing in this world is this universe. And the universe comes out of his body. As Mahavishnu. You know, like a drop of water comes from the body. You know? And still, this Mahavishnu is only an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. Imagine how extraordinary is Krishna. How wonderful is he? The pure devotees, they don't have even interest in knowing Paramatma. They want to fix just their mind on the beautiful form of Krishna and Vrindavan. That's all. Yes?
Well, I have a very basic question.
Please.
Why Prabhupada said that we should always chant 16 rounds? What is the significance of numbers as well?
Okay, I will explain to you this. When Prabhupada came to the West, he asked the first devotees to chant 64 rounds. Because that is, traditionally, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they will chant 1 lakh, you know, 100,000 names. And that is 64 rounds. So traditionally it's like that. Even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, those who chant more, less than 64, they are fallen. He said, according to his estimation, like that. So Prabhupada came, he asked the first devotee to chant 64 rounds. And they said, Swamiji, it's impossible, you know. We have to stop everything, work, everything, you know. Prabhupada said, okay, then chant 32 rounds. Still, Swamiji, this, we can't do it. Frankly speaking, you know, we can't do it. Prabhupada said, okay, 16 rounds, that's no more argument. That's the minimum, no less. So that way he established 16 rounds as the minimum. Not the maximum. In that way. A proper writer in the Padishamrita that according to opinion of my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, those who chant less than 64, they are fallen soul. But since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen soul, then we have some, you know, some hope, you know, to be delivered by Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj was very strict. But I am letting you enter into the abode of bhakti from the back door. You come from the back door, I allow you to enter. Like
that. Yeah. Then, relating to this question, then what is the significance of the 64 rounds? Because Prabhupada reduced 50% and then 50%.
The idea is, numerical is very important for Vaishnavas, so they keep, that comes from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He himself was chanting with his hands, counting, you know, 1 lakh every day. So Vaishnava tradition, if they follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will also chant 1 lakh, following his teaching, his footsteps, understand? So this way it came. Prabhupada diminished because Westerners could not do it. That's all. So Prabhupada adjusted time, place, circumstance for the preaching. You know, like that. But you have to have some, you know, some number to chant. So that is discipline. to discipline the mind. I have to finish certain amount of, you know. Prabhupada once was imitating, you know, some devotees' mentality. He said, he was chanting, you know, and when he finished, oh, finally I finished 16 rounds. Now I can do any damn thing I want. Prabhupada said, this is the minimum. If you have more time, chant more.
But somewhere in Sanskrit, somebody was saying that if you chant about 3 crore names in lifetime, this moksha is prescribed.
We are not even after moksha.
Something like that.
We want after prayer. The actual result of chanting is not moksha. Also moksha is included, but the real goal of chanting Nam, Harinam, is to achieve Krishna prayer. I mean, there are three stages of chanting the holy name, Namaparadha. The other one is Namavas and Shudhana. First stage is one, knowingly or unknowingly, commit many offenses. Second stage, Namabhas, is clearing stage. That's one, almost no offense. Little offense may be still there. And in that stage, the devotee has already achieved moksha, liberation. But that's not the highest stage, not the ultimate goal of chanting. The ultimate goal of chanting is Shuddhana, Krishna prayer. That's the goal. That's the goal. You can go chanting 100,000 of lakhs of name. But if you chant with offenses, you may be millions of lifetimes still coming to the material world. So it's not only the amount of chanting, but the quality also is important. Both things. Quality is even more important than quantity.
But I was hearing, this is that Shyamapur is mentioning in the class that he was playing Kunti's prayers, you know, Swami Haridas, and he was traveling and he met he was traveling preaching at Raghunath Goswami's father and uncle.
Yes.
He gives saying in one Vipra objects, he says that only chanting is enough. Not even pure chanting Krishna's name, even Navabhyas also.
Yes, yes. So
that before the sun rises.
Yes, the result is there.
So
the result is there.
Can deliver you, that's what.
Sure. Haridas Thakur was preaching like that.
Yeah.
And it is Brahmin protested. Why you are over glorifying the chanting like that? There's over glorification. You don't know, Vedas say that to achieve moksha you have so much tapasya and, you know, and fasting and all this. And now you're saying just by chanting some words you will be liberated? I will chop off your nose because you're exaggerating like that. And Haridas Thakur became very, you know, angry. He was making offense against the holy name. And he told him, if what I'm saying is not true, I will chop my own nose. And this, you know, this Gopal Chapal, he got leprosy, his own nose melted away because of the offense, you know. So it's no exaggeration. It is true. Even Nambas can free you from repeated birth and death. But that's not the highest goal. The highest goal is Shudhana, pure name and Krishna prayer. We should not be satisfied with less than that. We should not be satisfied with less than that. We should. Prabhupada said once, if you are going for hunting, you must hunt a rhinoceros. White rhinoceros. If you fail, nobody will blame, you know, it's very difficult to hunt. You know. If you get, then you're glorified. You
know.
Yes.
Naraji, he asked Brahma, what can deliver the people in nature?
Yes, yes, yes.
In that regard, as on the Karmakanda process, he says that even if they chant the holy name of 3 crore times,
yes,
they will get delivered of the contamination of the Yogali.
Yes, yes, sure. That's even the Bhagavatam said, even if they chant mockingly, They are mocking the devotees, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, laughing at them, still they will get the spiritual benefit. What to speak of, you know, chanting with faith, with sincere desire to please the Lord. Definitely result will be there. In this age of Kali, there is no other religion than the chanting of the holy name. Alright, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Premanand.
Jai Hari.
Hare
He's taking one of those five.